with the false doctrine as we know up to this point, just as a kind of a recap of chapters 1 and 2. The reason why Paul gave the history that he did of himself, of his conversion, was not to, you know, boast of all that he had done in Christ or where Christ had taken him, but really to show the Galatians that all that he had received from Christ himself. And unlike those that were coming into the church now, the Judaizers that were in the Galatian churches, and that Paul was writing this letter really to combat against and their teaching, he was coming to them from the perspective, from the point of view of the Word of God. And that's all that he cared to preach to them, was the Word of God. He did not really care about preaching his opinion or to tell them what he believed necessarily, but he wanted to show them and to teach them the Word of God. And Paul's desire really was that, as he would also admonish to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, is this. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You know, this rebuke, as we open up chapter 3, where Paul says, "O foolish Galatians," as I was reading this phrase and drilling into this phrase, the sentiment here, because I know it can, if you read it, you could take it one of two ways. It could be either a very sharp rebuke, like, you're so dumb, Galatians, or, and this is what it's meant to be, is almost like a parent telling a kid, you shouldn't have done that, but you did. And in that sentiment, Paul is writing to the Galatians, telling them, you have learned what is right. You have learned the Word of God, and yet still you are foolish to go after this doctrine, which you know is not proper, is not right in the sight of God. Paul desires, again, above all things, that the Galatians know the truth, but he doesn't want them to simply take him at his word. And so what he does, again, and we'll see this as we go through Galatians, Lord willing, is that he is presenting to them what he has learned from Christ. He is giving them really the Old Testament, the gospel message, and he wants them to know that what he brings is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the beginning of really what is the crux of the letter, starting in chapter 3, he begins by asking them several questions. And it's these questions which we're going to drill into tonight. First one is in verse 1, which says, "Who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" Paul, of course, asked the question, and he already knows the answer to the question. He knew who these Judaizers were and the false doctrine which they spread, which really, and I want to recap this because we talked about this back in chapter 1, but it's been a while. It was that they believed that on top of just having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you had to then add on keeping the law, which to add anything to what Christ has already done and to his perfect work is to, as we saw in chapter 2 on Sunday, to really, and I'll read it from chapter 2, to frustrate the grace of God. Because it is to say that Christ's work, finished work on the cross, and all that he did is not enough. When we know that it is. Paul knew that these believers in the Galatian churches, although not having physically seen the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, knew of Christ by the testimony of the faithful men that came, like him and others, to preach the gospel unto them. Men which preached only what aligned with the Word of God. And again, what Paul would say to Timothy, all that Paul was doing for them and admonishing them to do is to continue in the things which they knew to be true, rather than to turn and to go after some new thing just because it was new and it might have somehow seemed enticing to them. If we are convinced, and this kind of brings me to ponder this question, if we are really convinced that Christ is the Messiah, and if they were convinced that Christ is the Messiah, and that knowledge of Christ as the Messiah revealed by faith brought them to faith, why would they now seek to add to the gospel message with their works? If you really believe that the gospel message is true and that all that Christ has done is the only thing that is necessary, then there is no need to then add unto it with works. Which leads to verse 2. This only would I learn of you, and this is what he wanted to know above all things. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So Paul begins and he prompts them again, asking them, so where is your salvation from? Where do you place your salvation? Was it because you kept the law really well? Is that where your righteousness is? We saw how in chapter 2 that is really frustrating the grace of God, which is to render it useless, because if Christ has already done all of the things that are necessary for salvation, to try to add to it is, like we were talking about on Sunday, those that built the Tower of Babel, trying to get to heaven of their own accord, which is impossible. So from where does your salvation come? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And he prompts them with a question so as to the nature of the discerning spirit, which should be within all believers, pointing us to the truth. You know, as believers in Christ, one thing that marks us all is the Holy Spirit, which resides in every single one of us. And Christ, in speaking of the Holy Spirit, said this in John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. Back in chapter 2, as we have already seen, Paul discusses how it is simply through Christ, who is both the author and finisher of our faith. And he, in order to seal the believers, sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to us. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We have received the Holy Spirit simply because we have had faith in Christ. Simply through our faith in Christ, God has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to point us into all truth, so that as we are living this life, because we are still in the flesh, even though we have the Spirit within us, that we can have the Holy Spirit that guides us and that points us to do the things which are right in the Lord, and to show us the truth from the Spirit, or from the Word of the Lord. It is faith that is originated by Christ within us through the working of the Holy Spirit, and it is the Spirit that keeps believers sealed unto the day of redemption. The law was evidenced by the Holy Spirit believers that they had faith in God and his plan. And I always thought about it this way. The reason why the law was kept in the Old Testament was because the people that kept the law, the ones that are counted as true believers, those that were really sanctified, did not keep the law because they were seeking to be made righteous by the law. They did so because they believed in the author of the law. And that is why they didn't seek to keep it as, okay, I'm going to be made righteous because I am keeping the law. No, they sought to keep it because they knew the one that gave us the law is true, and so I'm going to try to follow after him. But if you really go through the Old Testament, keeping the law in and of itself was really not enough. And actually, if you get to the end of the Old Testament, specifically in the book of Malachi, and I want to read a few verses from there if you want to turn with me to Malachi chapter 1, we see that even though Israel was given the law of God, and though some of them were declared righteous, it was not by keeping the law, but it was through faith. Because a lot of them, especially towards the end of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 1, were keeping the law really out of lip service to God. Malachi chapter 1, starting in verse 6. A son honoreth his father, as a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? And here it is. Verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now, I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that will shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. It's interesting how at the end of the Old Testament, and really we see this all throughout the Old Testament, but really towards the end of the Old Testament as Christ is preparing for his coming, how we see that Israel as a nation, now there were some that were keeping the law not because of having righteousness by the law, but because they believed by faith. But largely, the nation of Israel was keeping the law really to say, okay, we checked off the box, we did it. Great. But really, when they were keeping the law, they were doing so in half-hearted ways and not really doing it to the standard that God had declared it to be done. And really, doing lip service to the law was worthless because no faith was found in this keeping. And God really points that out through the prophets, how the prophets, like we just read in Malachi, would tell them, look, these are worthless to me. Just simply you keeping the law for the sake of keeping the law is worthless to me. It is because of a heart that is bowed before God. That is where my honor comes, not by just keeping the law. And it's interesting, and this is why I brought up this particular passage, because at the end of this passage in Malachi chapter 1, we see how it points to what God was doing and would do, really through Christ, among the Gentiles. How, because Israel largely had rejected what God had given to them, rejected really keeping the law correctly, not for the sake of keeping it, but they had rejected the plan of God in bringing Christ, as we see after when he came, that the Jews did not even recognize him, that God was going to do something great among the Gentiles. John 15, verses 1 and 2 say this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Paul later in Romans chapter 11 follows that picture of the Gentiles, which we're all Gentiles, being grafted into that true vine by faith, though once we were wild, were grafted in through faith. And he said that it's in Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 16. For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off that thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not these. It's interesting to see, going back to the book of Galatians, how these believers bought into really the lie that the Judaizers were telling them. That somehow, after all that Christ has done, now it was really, we have to add on unto that, keeping the law in order to really be righteous before God. And I thought about, as I read through this passage of Scripture, how important it is for us as believers to never stop feeding on the Word of God individually. Because it is only because, and I really believe this as we go through the book, because this is why Paul was writing to them in the first place, to remind them of all of the things that really they should have known in the gospel, that if we individually aren't really feeding on the Word of God, when someone comes and spreads a false doctrine, we may not be equipped to know and to be discerning enough to know that it is a false doctrine. Because those that come with that false doctrine do so intelligently, craftily, as the Judaizers were coming into these Galatian churches. And so as believers, this is why individually, and as we are called together and we assemble together, but individually, we are called and continue to grow and to produce fruit as believers. Verse 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? If it is not by the law by which we attain holiness, then it is impossible for our salvation to be kept by the law when the law was not its originator. And I thought about, as Paul was asking the Galatian church this, really what he is saying is, look, if Christ is not the perfect sacrifice that he claims to be, and if he is not enough, then why are you still suffering for his name? If there is something else by which we can claim our salvation, then it is not worth it to suffer for Christ's sake. But if you have suffered, you suffered righteously so, because you know the truth that you believe in is the truth of God, and you know that Christ comes from God. So why would you turn now and really make your own suffering moot? The early church was persecuted heavily because of the preaching of Christ. Paul himself, and he famously listed off all of the things that he endured, not for righteousness' sake, but for the preaching of the gospel. He wrote all these things down so that people would know, and so that those that he was writing to will know that he was enduring all of these things, but he did so joyfully because he knew that all of the things that he had endured were because he believed in Jesus Christ. And he counted it for joy, which is an incredible thought to say that, you know, the suffering that you go through as a Christian. And, you know, again, like I mentioned on Sunday morning, you know, we are blessed to live in the United States where we haven't seen a lot of persecution, but we know as Christians that we are to expect persecution. And we may see that in our time, persecution, even, you know, for our beliefs. And I think we're seeing that in little ways. But if you go outside of this country, and we famously were praying for a young lady that, you know, had limbs cut off because she declared faith in Jesus Christ. And as I was thinking about that, as Brother Truman was telling us that, I thought about how she was still joyful. In spite of what she endured, she was still joyful. And how many Christians, you know, outside of the United States, and again, there's some in the United States as well, they go through persecution, real persecution, and yet they count it for joy because they know in whom they have believed. And not only that, but they know that really the life that we live on this earth is so minuscule compared to what is to come. And what Paul is trying to remind the Galatians is this: look, if you really believed in Jesus Christ and now you have gone to this other doctrine, you're making your own suffering really to none effect. You're saying that it wasn't worth it. And really, why would you continue to suffer over something that you know is not true? If Christ isn't the truth and there are many paths to heaven, then really the suffering that we endure because we're believers is really not worth it. But in the long run, if you really think about it, no one will suffer so long for something that is false. If we truly believe what we know to be true, if we continue in the things that we have been assured, knowing of whom we have learned them, as Paul said to Timothy, then we will continue because we know in whom we have believed. And that's what Paul is reminding the Galatians here. Look, you know that what you have seen, what you have heard, is the truth. And if you have suffered, you have suffered righteously, and it is not worthless to continue to suffer for the cause of Christ. And I think honestly this is why even our suffering as a believer in Christ is so special, because we are assured by a true and living God that the reason for our suffering is the truth. In our suffering we are in fellowship with Christ because he first suffered, and suffered more unjustly than all of us, because he, unlike us, deserved none of the suffering. And he took on, I think, the greatest of all suffering on the cross by taking on all of our sins upon himself. So we have fellowship with Christ in that. And not only that, but our suffering, I believe, as Christians, draws us together as believers in Christ in fellowship. You know, in a lot of places, they don't have churches, you know, church buildings, let's say, like this to go and worship together as believers. They probably meet underground or, you know, in homes and hiding. But the fellowship is the same because it is around Jesus Christ and around his word. And it's something we should never take for granted. I know in the United States we have all of these great things that we get to do that in a lot of other parts of the world, they just don't. And it's really easy to take something like these meetings for granted, just to say, okay, all right, it's church, another day, another week. But when we think about, you know, as Christians, we get to come together, and really this should be the place where we are the most comfortable. Because when we go out there, we are constantly faced with the world and with sinfulness. But in here, we should be gathered around the scriptures and to be edifying one another in Christ. And that should be something that we never take for granted, because it should draw us closer together in fellowship. But if Christ is not true, then why do we need to suffer? Paul's life demonstrated to the Gentiles that God was true, because all of the things that he endured, no one would suffer so much for something false. Especially someone like Paul, when you read his resume prior to Christ, he was, you know, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know, he had the good standing. He was he had it made in many ways from the world's perspective. And you know what he said? I count all things but dung that I might win Christ. All of that is worthless to me because I know that Christ is true. And his life was demonstrative of that, that he knew what he believed and he lived a life that showed that. If Christ is really the way, the truth, and the life, which we know that he is, then why would we ever turn and forsake the things which we know to be true? Could these believers deny the things which they had seen and how they were done? If we truly believe that Christ is who he says he is, then nothing that we will go through for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Christ is futile, because we know that the suffering in this world is but a vapor compared to what is to come. And the last question that he asks in chapter 5 is this: he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know, as Christians, we have received a great many gifts that we get to enjoy. You know, the Word of God, I think, is a gift from God that we get to read, and not only read, but because of the Spirit that resides within us, we get understanding of the Word of God. All of these things that we have received, that we get to enjoy as Christians, did we receive them because we're such good people? No. But we receive them because Christ has saw it fit to pour them over us through faith and through His grace. God gives gifts to His children because He loves His children. And really, and the Bible speaks to this notion that the world is blessed because of the gifts that God gives to His children. All of the blessings that we received are because we have been adopted into the family of God by grace through faith. And with Christ as really the pinnacle, the most perfect gift that we have received by God, as it was through Him that we have received the gifts through salvation, all of these things which we have received are through faith in Christ. If we must suffer, we do not suffer in vain, because Christ lives and sits at the right hand of the Father for us, with His life being our glorious intercession at the right hand of the Father. And we know, above all things, that we are tremendously blessed, not because we do so well in keeping the law, but because we have received the free gift of grace through faith in Christ. And it is because of that faith that we have received all of these gifts. So as we go, I want us to focus on these things, that as we go through our life, you know, the things that we endure, if we are to suffer for righteousness' sake, we should be content, we should be happy to do so, because we know of whom we have heard and whom we have believed. And as Paul continues to admonish the Galatian church, as we will continue on with this chapter later on, we will see how Paul really continues to show how even in Old Testament times, those that really believed by faith, and we see in Hebrews chapter 11, there is a whole list of people who by faith believed God and did the things which they did. They knew that they believed in the truth, and they believed in what God was doing and bringing about the Messiah. So let us be happy, even when we suffer for righteousness' sake, because we know that all that we have believed in Christ is the truth. Let's pray together.